بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A student that was in his final year studies, 1 year left to become an alim, I mean Mawlana. He wrote up to Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh that I have understood this whole exercise of tasawwuf, and the very essence of tasawwuf is that there are two types of work. One is that work that is within your volition and choice, and the other work is that which is not within your volition and choice, ikhtiyari and ghair ikhtiyari. So that which is not within your choice, don't worry about it. Many a times people become overwhelmed with dreams, with feelings, and they consider that feeling and the dream to be a sign of acceptance. So they treat it more serious than what it's supposed to be treated as. In the words of Al-Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, this is also a bid'at. A bid'at that is pertaining and connected to the batin, to the inner self. Generally, what has happened and what happens in this day is we have restricted bid'at to a few little acts. Someone will say Qiyam, Salam, Maulud, this is bid'at. But little do we realize that many times we are also involved in some other bid'at, and we don't consider that as a bid'at. Treating and showing too much of importance to these type of things that are not within your choice and not within your volition is also a type of a bid'at. Iltizam ma la yalzam. Shariat hasn't given that type of importance to it. It hasn't emphasized these things like you emphasizing it. You're showing the importance. The Shariat hasn't shown that type of importance. Hence, you create a problem for yourself. So those things that are not within your choice, not within your volition, then don't worry about it. Don't go behind it. Don't pursue it. These type of experiences and these type of sceneries will become natural after death. With death, everything will become visible. All those things that you were aspiring to see, then you'll be able to see it. You're seeing Jannat, you're seeing Jahannam, you're seeing Malaika, and you're seeing all those things that are in the ghaib, that you'll be able to see it. So that will become natural. You will not have to make any effort. You will just walk into it, you will see it. So it is senseless you aspiring to see all these things, or senseless you trying to experience these things, experimenting these things. These things will become not natural. You will begin to see it. And the real effort is on those things that are within your choice, within your volition, within your choice, to work on them, to make an effort on them, to strive and struggle in these areas. Then this is the real area of struggle, the real area of strive. You have seen something that is not right, so you shut down your shutters, your eyes. You hear something that is not right, and you close your ears. And you have seen something and it aroused your temptation, aroused your emotions, then you keep quiet. See that you don't allow the emotions to have the better over you. Allah Ta'ala has created three levels. One is the level of the Sharia, then is the level of the intelligence, and the third is the level of emotions. It is natural for every person to become emotional. There was a tragedy, or there was some type of a success, then you become emotional. In your emotion, sometimes you begin to cry, sometimes you begin to laugh. So this is natural, it has to happen. You feel down at times, and you feel very high at times. So these are emotions. Right? What emotions you go through, even animals go through emotions. You cannot say that you are unique in going through emotions. You also go through emotions, that animal also goes through emotions. You hear of animals and birds also getting into depression. So they also have a thing like emotions. Now, what do you do with these emotions? So, to say just disregard emotions altogether, that's not right. Right? You give an expression to your emotions. You feel like crying, you must cry. Crying for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, crying for the love of Allah ta'ala, then this is a desirable thing. And the more important thing in crying is the crying of the heart. Not just onion tears or crocodile tears, right? That is not valued in the sight of Allah ta'ala. Just to put up a show, you're crying, then that's not the tear that is really valued. The tear that is valued, that is the tear of the heart. So sometimes it may be that you can't shed a tear, but your heart is in tears. So that is counted by Allah ta'ala. It's valuable. So one is this level, the level of emotions. Right? Feel like laughing, you laughed. Right? And you feel like crying, you cried. So this is an expression of emotions, and expression of emotion is no wrong, it's not a wrong. Provided it is not a make-up, and provided it is not to ridicule and poke fun at someone else. You're laughing, and you're poking fun at someone, you're ridiculing, you're putting him down, embarrassing him. So this is not right. But what comes naturally, then you're not answerable for that. But then, this is the level of emotion you can express it, provided you don't hurt anybody. Then above the emotion come the intellect, the reasoning. You won't allow the emotions to rule your life. Right? You've got a situation, for example, you've got a wife and you've got a mother. Right? Both you have to take care of the mother and take care of your wife. Now what do? When you go up to your mother, for example, and your mother is complaining about your wife. Now, if you're going to take off with your wife, then you are acting upon emotions. You haven't understood the whole situation. You've heard some person that you are very, very emotionally attached to, and then you are bursting out, you are exploding, then this is wrong. It's not right. This is not what Allah Ta'ala wants of you. That is a Christian concept. That you pay Peter to pay, to rob Peter to pay Paul. It's a Christian concept. It's not an Islamic concept. Christianity is that one person died for everybody's sins. He died. So he died. So that will amount to the fact that anybody does any guna, any sin, then don't worry about that guna because someone has died for you. Right? So, koi kare or koi bhare. Whatever happens, but one person is taken all the blame for your wrongs. This is the gist and the essence of Christianity. That whatever has happened, it's happened, but one person has taken the brunt and taken the blame for all the wrong. Now, that doesn't go well in any court of law. Any court of law, you cannot say, alright, these 10 people committed murder, and this person is assuming responsibility, go and put him away. Do they accept that? No, they won't accept that. You committed the wrong, then you responsible. You will face the consequence. He can't face the consequence for your wrong. La taziru waziratun wizra ukhra. That's a Christian concept, and that Christian concept doesn't work. You committed the wrong, then you answerable for the wrong. He's committed the wrong, he's answerable for his wrong. One bearer of burdens doesn't bear the burden of the next. لَا تَزِيرُ وَازِيرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. You have committed the wrong, so you bear that burden. Now you've got a situation, as I say, it's your wife on the one end and it is your mother on the other end, what do you do? For most people, the most sensible thing to do is to keep quiet. Because very few people have a very sound sense of judgment. Very, very few people have it. It's not everybody's ability to make the type of a sound judgment, correct and sound judgment between the both, and there is an emotional attachment, then you're going to be hard towards someone and you're going to be lenient towards the other. And you try and weigh the whole situation. If I'm going to be very hard towards my wife, then I'll have problems afterwards. I need to live the rest of my life with her. So my mother, perhaps I can just ignore that, you know. And my wife, let me be lenient towards her. Or you become emotionally attached the other way. I say, no, but my mother, she's done so much for me. This thing here, she's just come new in my life. So I can't show her the type of importance like I would show my mother. So both are wrong. You can't rob one to pay the other. You can't rob one to pay the other. You have to be fair this side, you have to be fair that side. And because most people lack that sound sense of judgment, then I will say that you then don't fall in between. Don't fall in between. You fulfill each one's rights. The rights of the wife you fulfill, and the rights of the mother you fulfill as well. So just keep quiet. Fulfill each one's right, because you don't have that ability to have that very sound sense of judgment. You don't have it, so you rather just keep quiet. See, for being able to judge very, very soundly and correctly and fairly, then you don't have to be concerned about the consequences that will follow. And most of us, then, we are worried about the consequence. What's going to happen now? I need to lead the rest of my life with my wife. And what am I going to do? I'm going to continue with my life. If she pulls away from me, then how am I going to continue with my life? Now, you're looking at that and then you're making a judgment. So that's not right. So this sound sense of judgment is not an easy thing. It may sound very easy, but it's not easy. So when you don't have the ability, then you rather just keep quiet. Just say, then I can't manage it. This is just one example I'm showing you. There are many other examples where people don't show that level of justice that is required. Now, you are in a marriage, right? Then you have your side of the family and you have your wife's side of the family, right? One is your side of the family, your parents and all the relatives that go on that end. And then you have your wife's side of the family. Right? Generally, the take is that after marriage, then you are more concerned and you are more attached with the wife's side of the family than your own side of the family. And you're not concerned about them. You don't show them that level of respect that you will show this side. Now, is this fair? Not fair. So that's why I say most people lack the sound sense of judgment. If you're showing respect here, do you show the equal respect here? You say, no, I show respect. But ask your heart, ask within your mind and heart, do you show the equal respect? Whereas, according to the standards of the Sharia, they have a greater right over you. Your side of the family have a greater right over you than your wife's side of the family. But no, after marriage, you are tipping the scale. You are more on this side and less on this side. You're not showing the respect. You're not showing the type of filiation. You're not showing them the type of affiliation that you need to show. So again, that sound sense of judgment, you see. So this sound sense of judgment is not an easy thing. It is not so simple as you may think it to be. Then look within yourself. I'm showing one is family. Look within yourself. Right? That person, he tramped your toes, then you are very, 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 very upset. Very emotional about it. He's tramped your toes. Why did he tramp my toes? You're very upset about it. You're annoyed. You're angry. You're biting your teeth. What right this person has got to tramp my toes? But then look within yourself. Many a times it is that you tramp the toes of the Sharia. Doesn't it happen? Same wrong. You wrong the Sharia. You overstep the mark. Do you become upset with yourself? Do you become annoyed with yourself? Do you also retaliate on behalf of the Sharia against yourself? For your own feelings, your own self, you are very quick to stand up in arms. You are very quick standing up in arms, retaliating and defending your rights. Right? When someone tramped your toes. But when you tramp the toes of the Sharia, then are you quick in defending the Sharia as well? Or you have got a different criteria there altogether. It's a different standard. It's a different thing. You just rule it off and you say it's a different thing altogether. So that's what I say, that most people lack the sound sense of judgment. You are fair here, then you are fair this side as well. For this you need either the level of taqwa, or you need the level of a director from a sheikh. Al-Mawad Thami Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, his wife once teased him. He says, no, you got married for the second time. You got two wives. So now, you know what you have done? You have opened the doors for all your murids and all your students to get married for the second time. You got married, now they'll say, no, our sheikh did it, so why can't we do it? Women, they speak like that. See, you don't have to become emotional. Like I said, emotional, the woman will speak like that. They are that 1-2 cents short, so they must speak like that. Now, it's not of a man to become emotional and irritated over every simple statement of a woman. Then you're not a man. Then why are you a husband then? Why are you the leader of the house? You become irritated and you get angered over every statement of the wife, then you're not a man. They are women, they're going to speak like that. They'll speak out of turn, speak in turn, out of turn, they'll speak like that. However they want to speak, they will speak. But it's not your place to get irritated for every simple thing that they do. That's a sign of nobility. You just overlook. يَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٌ. Many of their mistakes, many of their shortcomings, their misdemeanors, you just overlook it. Right? As long as in broader aspects of the deen, etc., they are throwing the line with you, then small things, the simpler things, then you leave it. And you are taking them to task for every simple thing. You think to yourself, if Allah Ta'ala had to take you to task for every simple thing, then how would your life be? It would definitely be unbearable. Like Allah Ta'ala forgives you for many things, then overlook their statements as well. They don't need it because they are a little bit weak, so they just blurt out things at times. Some things that they say, they don't mean it, they just blurt it out. Yeah, you know, you're eyeing some other girl. You're after someone else. Why you phoned just now? Who you phoned? So they'll have 101 questions. Who you phoned? Why you phoned? What was the message? Was it important for you to speak to that girl? So they'll have 101 questions. In some respects, for most people, it's a better thing. At least you got a police over you. If someone is tracking you down. If that wife wasn't there also, then you would have gone wild just now. So she is there, at least she's tracking you down. So make shukr that at least someone is helping you to keep to the levels of taqwa. This is where we go wrong, that when we look at things, we look at one track line. We don't look at it from different angles, alright? This is also a possibility, this is also a favor, this is also a blessing. Can I look at it from a different angle altogether? So now one track, we become that narrow mind, biased, very prejudiced. Anything goes against my taste, then I tip off. So we are talking of Hazrat Mawlana Thami Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and his wife made the statement, yeah, you know you got married now second time, what happened? You opened the door for other people to get married the second time. You're opening the doors now. So, Mulana was a very calm person, very relaxed person. So all he said is that, no, really, I didn't open the door, I closed the door. I didn't open the door, I closed the door. See, I'm showing you a man. What is a man? Man is a person of nobility. He'll listen to all the stories, but then he'll do the thing after careful thought and careful reasoning. You won't act on emotion, not just on impulse. If you're going to be too emotional and too impulsive, then this woman can take you to Jahannam. إِنَّ مِنْ أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجِكُمْ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ. Allah Pak is saying you, is warning you, is cautioning you. Some of them are your enemies. because you want to do the right thing and they are taking you on the wrong end. You're getting carried away. But that doesn't mean that you must not treat them like an enemy. What you need to do is be careful. فَحْذَرُونَ But وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُ You must, in three words Allah Pak is saying, forgive them, overlook them, and be considerate towards them. إِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُ They will do things you have to overlook. You have to be considerate. You will have to be a man after all. After all, you're a man, you put on the pants. Why, for what? Why have you been given and blessed that honor by the Sharia? So that you can just bully people around? Is that your position? So she's weak, so you must just bully her. Just run her down. And really, that's not a man's place. A bully boy, you get in school, you get in universities, colleges, a bully boy. But then are you going to be a bully boy throughout your life? Rasulullah himself speaks about himself. I am the best towards my wife. Then he's showing a sign of nobility. A sign of nobility is person gets, he buckles under the pressure of his wife. Impermissible things. Not in impermissible things. She said something, all right. Right. So he gave in. Not in impermissible things, but in permissible things, you gave in. You let her have the final say. So that's a sign of nobility. But everywhere you must have the final say. You must say it. You're in authority. Then that's not a sign of nobility. It's not a sign of respect. I mean, you're a person that is not noble. You're a very lowly person. But a sign of nobility is you give it. No, she did this. All right. No. It's a problem, not a problem. I also commit wrongs. And Allah Ta'ala forgives me. I must forgive her. So now that's a sign of nobility. It's a sign of respect. Now that woman also feels respected and she feels honored. See, I left all my folks, my friends, my families, and I came to live with this man here, and see the respect that he gives me, the respect that he awards me. So she feels good within herself. But the other way, no, this man doesn't appreciate me. What sacrifice I have done, and this is how he's treating me like an animal. So she doesn't feel appreciated. Allahumma Thaisab Rahmatullah then says to his wife, no, you see, you missed the point. I didn't open the doors, I closed the doors. So what do you mean that you closed the doors? See, a free communication shows a healthy relationship. He's a buzrug of the time, but an ordinary wife got the right to go and speak to him freely and however she wants. One of us, I'm the buzrug of the time, such a great person. And you're the most misfortunate person. How can you ever speak to me like this? Your akhirat will get just now destroyed. He didn't say this. Now, this is our stupidity, our weakness, this is how we think, this is how we reason. I'm the buzrug, everybody will respect me, and they mustn't open their mouths in front of me. They got no respect. They don't know what is the position of husband. They must look at the kitab, ideal husband, they must look. I'm showing you, social life, what is a healthy life, that they can speak freely. They can speak openly. They can talk to you what they need to speak. A Mu'ari is a mujaddid. He's a revivalist of the time. A revivalist, not an ordinary person. He came with a work of 100 years. So that's a giant of a person that he was. Right? Magnitude of work that he's brought. There isn't a library in the world that doesn't have his kitabs. Every library has got his kitabs. Every madrasa are teaching his kitabs. You can imagine what a brain he must have had. But now, on the domestic front, then the wife is so free to speak. Now what do you mean? That you close the doors. You open the doors and you see you close the doors. Ulti baat kar rahe. You speak all opposites, you're speaking. Who's speaking? The wife is speaking. So Mu'ari says, see, all right. So he illustrated one situation. One person came in. Villager came in. And he brought two watermelons for Mawlana. And Mawlana was also a little bit humorous by nature, see. Now the man is sitting with that watermelons there. But he's not talking. He's got the two watermelons in his hand. And he's not talking. After some time, then he gets the tawfiq to ask, Mawlana, where else I leave the watermelons? So Mawlana, in a little bit of a humorous way, said, keep it on my head. So the villager actually took it and put it over Mawlana's head. A little bit of humor. Anyway, I'm showing you, see, what is life? What is life? It doesn't mean you are a buzrug now, you have ears about yourself, and you think so great about yourself. You are, when you are interacting with people, like a normal person, ordinary person, humble, easy to get along, layyinul janib. This was the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, layyinul janib. Easy to get along. Pliant, easy, manageable, you can talk to the person, you can approach the person, he's easily accessible, no airs about himself. So Muad tells this villager, you know what, I've got two wives, and then it is my duty to practice equality between both. And you got two watermelons, how must I distribute it between the two? How must I divide it? So that villager is talking in village language. Main tujhe janta hoon. I know you. I know the justice that you practice. That's why I got these two watermelons, both of the same weight. This is 5 kilos and this is 5 kilos as well. Alright, mashallah, you practiced equality in that regards. But now, it's possible that one may turn out to be sweeter than the other. And then one will have a cause for complaint. This one will say, hey, mine was very, very sweet. Hey, mine turned out to be a rotten one. Can't it happen? It can happen. If they cut both, and one turned out to be extremely sweet, and the other one is tasteless, you know, then the wives are discussing, both the co-wives are discussing, hey, mine's, my hubby, he was there. And then one will say, hey, all that lousy watermelons came on my side. Now, Murad is asking his villager, now how do I practice equality in that respect? So that villager is saying in his own language, says, what do you expect, Murad? You mean I must go and dig into the watermelon, taste that thing and give it to you afterwards? And you must do yourself, no? You see the freedom. That's all signs of nobility, respect. How freely they can speak to the elders. He doesn't mean disrespect. Now, if I tell you the story, now you will go and imitate. You won't speak your real self. He's speaking his real self. And if you want to listen to the story and do anything, then you will try and imitate. That imitation is not that real thing. It's a real thing. How they. So, well, it's alright. Get a knife. I can't go and do this in the home now. Can't be in front of them. Obviously, I have to do it here. In the absence, I'll have to do that. And then, I'll have to send it to their respective homes. So he's got a scale, one has a scale also, and call for a knife and he slit both the watermelons. Right? So half of the watermelon he took half and put it on this end, and half of the watermelon he put it on that end. So if one is sweeter than the other, then each one is getting a sweeter end and is getting a plain end. Right? Right. So that village is saying, Mulana, I can't reach up to your level. Your level is too difficult for me. So Mulana is explaining to his wife, see what these people say, that level is too difficult. If I did marry for the second time, then this is the level of equality that I practiced. Otherwise, they'll show me the cases that come front of us. You know, right? I can hardly find a case where a person is practicing total equality. He's not doing it. He gets married for the second time, sometime because of greed. In fact, most of the time, not because of need, but because of greed. And then this other one is just left in suspense. Her rights are not being fulfilled, and she's not shown the type of respect and love that she deserves. She bore the children, she went through all the difficulty, and she came up to this age. Now, she doesn't have the beauty and attraction. Obviously, she's born so much with you. And nor do you have the beauty. You think she has lost her beauty, so she's over, but you also lost your beauty. So now it's a compromise. You lost your beauty, she lost her beauty before you were black and healthy and handsome. And now you also grade up. No? You also grade up. So don't only look at her, look at yourself as well. If she's graying, then you are graying as well. You're getting weaker, then she's getting weaker as well. Right? You're losing the shape and figure, then she's also losing the shape and figure. I was just telling one person, came for his class, so his topics were the same thing. The wife calls, husband calls the figure, this, that, and all that. So I told him, today's masla, today's problem, what is the trial of this day? Allah put in my mind, I told him the trial of this day is that we are all after figures. Or that figures got two meanings. Is that the problem or what? Everybody's after figures. You got 10, I got 100, you got 1,000, you got so much. So you're after figures or figure of that girl. So is there any other dispute? The dispute is after a figure. So if you just take that figure out, just take the figure out of your mind, then you'll see life becomes enjoyable. You've got that figure in your mind. I must get that figure. Then you have made a problem for your life. But you say, no, I'm khate pite. We eat and drink, we carry on enjoying life. But your life is carrying on, continuing, we're eating, we've got sufficient, we've got a shelter over our heads, it's enough. But now you're after a figure. Whether it's money, whether it's woman, that figure you're after, right? You're asking for a problem for yourself. So if you just remove the figure from the equation, then life becomes enjoyable. But if you make that the goal, the figure, then it's going to be a problem. Because to get up to that figure is not within your volition, not within your choice. When it's not within your choice, not within your ikhtar, you're going to create problems for yourself. See? Allah Ta'ala tawfiq naseeb kare.